And so it's nice to be up here with Miguel.
How difficult is it to, I mean, where do you start? You know, there are many issues. It's not just a question of whether you have the data and what you do with it, but there is an underlying technology infrastructure within the bank, which is, you know, not bought yesterday.
Yeah, so the dreaded word legacy tends to be on a lot of people's minds when talking about financial institutions and their ability to actually use and leverage data in compelling ways. So, you know, the answer that I always come back to and how you solve for that problem is talent. HSBC and I think the large financial services institutions are at a talent war. And so we are looking for awesome talent, like those of you who are out there in the audience, to help us think through how you solve for those problems. I don't think it's about legacy systems. I think it's about mentality. And if you get the right set of people from the right set of perspectives who know how to operate and execute and think about problems in new ways, you'll figure out the answers. I think we have all the assets. We just need to complement the existing good people we have with great new people that help us, you know, leverage those assets.
So, Miguel, when you go to talk to a prospect, a bank, say, and you turn up with this snazzy data tool that you have, do you kind of run into sort of mental hurdles, perhaps, or do you kind of run into resistance, or do they welcome you with open arms and just can't get enough of you?
No, I have to agree with Rohit. I think it's a thing of mentality more than technology, I would say, right? I mean, for sure, there are these legacy systems, and there is some guy who has invested a few million dollars in the previous system. He doesn't want to change. So as a startup, we had to learn that you need to orbit in that ecosystem. You cannot just come in and say, my thing is better, just ditch everything you were doing and use my new technology. It's never only a technology question. It's a use case, strategy question. It's what is this for, right? What are you trying to accomplish? So we're talking about strategy. So we see that we have much more success when we talk at the higher level of the organization, because if these people really get it, and I see that a few of them are starting to get it, then you can change the whole pyramid. If you talk at the operative tactical person, they may get it, but the whole infrastructure of people is not changing fast enough for them.
So do you think that, because it sounds to me that, you know, this is not a customer-driven development. I imagine not many customers call you to say, hey, we really need a tool because we don't know where to open a bakery. So it's very much a sort of top-down approach, is it?
I can speak to that because I think it's a very interesting case. I would say that users are already changing themselves. They are using a Google Maps and then another tool. They are applying intelligence to their own life decisions. So we see that's happening at the end user level, but not yet at the enterprise level. So I think enterprises should look at what's already happening on the street and bring in that way of doing things, of applying intelligence to your daily activities into the enterprise applications. I don't know what you think.
Yeah, so I think it's very interesting. So there's a lot of dimensions to data, right? So I'll tell you about, like, and I don't know if any of you are HSBC customers, but I suspect if any of you are, I can probably guess your number one complaint / dissatisfaction. And it's probably logging into our services,
yes.
Right? So,
I'm an HSBC.
Eva, see, right? So it is the number one, by far and away, the number one complaint. And we're working very, very hard to solve that problem. And we need to do it by basically using data to be much better about implicitly understanding who you are, as opposed to today, where we're very explicit about you telling us who you are and what you have, right? So that's an example of using data to actually solve a key customer problem. There are other customer problems that we hypothesize exist, but that our customers aren't necessarily telling us. And by the way, we'll have to be really careful about whether we leverage the ability to do this and how we do this and how we socialize users on allowing us to do this. But for example, what if I could tell you, hey, within your community, I know there are thousands or hundreds of thousands of peoples that basically use the same service as you do. And I know that basically what you pay is more than what they pay. Would you like to know that? Would that be an insight that you would like to know? Probably, if it helps you save money, and that's a value-added service that I would love to deliver to you because it costs me nothing and I am rich and improve your life, right? But no user that I have seen in feedback has ever asked us for that, but I suspect putting ourselves in the shoes of our users, that would be a really, really awesome and sort of incredibly valuable service to receive. So we have to think about how to do that. We have the raw data by which to do that, but the way in which you present that and allow users to opt into that is very important because they have to feel that that's a safe and trusted environment in which they want to participate.
unique.
And I think I have bad news. I think we are much less unique than we think we are, right? So we as human beings are quite predictable. So by looking at us from an integral perspective and where we do things, what kind of things we do, you can kind of know who we are. And then there's so much more that a bank can do about offering very tailored services based on our behavior in social networks, in the bank transactions, in our telco interactions. So by adding together disparate data sources, you can really know how the individual is going to behave and use that patterns to offer better services.
So you have lots of data at HSBC, or if you're a big bank, you've got plenty of data. What makes more sense, whether it's an economic decision or whether it's a technology decision, would you keep the development of tools to interpret and use that data in-house? Or does it make more sense for you to go to someone like Miguel's shop?
Get Miguel's shop.
It's definitely Miguel's shop. He and I are going to talk after this. It's a mix, right? So I think that there's traditionally been a view both by the marketplace, that banks operate in a certain way or large financial institutions operate in a certain way. And I think there is a methodology internally in large financial institutions on how they should operate. And I think that's what's changing very rapidly. Again, the mentality that's being brought into large organizations, independent of industry, but certainly in financial institutions, is changing. And that mentality is saying, there is some stuff that we have to build internally and be great at because it should be a core competency. There are certain things, the enrichment of data, especially from various sources that actually create a much more compelling and interesting story, an insight map for our customers, should be brought in by third parties. And it's actually how you think about putting that puzzle together that's really valuable. And again, like I'll go back to what I said at the beginning, that happens because you have the right talent thinking about that problem from the right set of perspectives and with the right set of experiences. And that doesn't happen by having an institution or organization that's only had one set of people trained in one certain way for a long time, right? We really are eager and excited about finding incredible talent from many, many, many industries, including music discovery and recommendation, including people who know how to understand and think about how things work in the sort of grocery retail space. All kinds of industries can actually help us become a much, much better consumer proposition.
Do you get that, Miguel? When you go to see a prospect, that they say, well, this is very good, but we can just do it ourselves. Is that something that happens, or do people look for third-party partnerships?
I think that's our biggest competitor, the bank or the big institution trying to do it themselves because they feel they can, right? They have the resources. But it's not just about putting manpower into doing something. I think you need to don't try to reinvent the wheel. Do what you do best. And for the banking developers, I'm not saying that the bank should not have developers. They need to be owning core competences, but they need to do what they do best, which is more on the front end with the customer or back end with the payment system, etc. But if you can then leave for experts to do what they do better, and in the case of Cat2DB, the geospatial engine is something that you should then invest too much to keep up to date, right? You can do one single shot yourself, but you want to be doing something new every day. I mean, we deploy to production 7 times a day. We are really focused on technology. So in that case, you should leverage that to us and focus on what you can do best. So we try to convince them about that, but usually it's when they fail, they come back to us. But firstly, they try themselves.
And do you feel that that mentality has changed perhaps a little? Is it? Can you see some green shoots of hope?
I do think so. Well, I see Rohit is like open to these kind of things. I think it's again about putting the right leadership, managing that. It's not just about doing experiments. I see a lot of banks doing small experiments with their innovation departments or innovation labs. It's about bringing that mentality into the core banking procedures, right? When this happens, I'm pretty optimistic.
Are you optimistic, Rohit?
I am. I'm very optimistic. I think that We're seeing a mind shift in how we think about problems. I think we're seeing a renewed focus, at least in our organization, around the customer and their key problems. By the way, I'll articulate those key problems just so that hopefully it gives some sense of how we think about what's important. We know that login is the most important thing that's affecting our users. We know that stability of our platforms is critically important in causing our users lots of frustration. We know that performance has got to be better. on par with the best consumer tech companies in the world. We know that we've got to have the right features. For example, the number one complaint is that you can't add a beneficiary inside of our mobile app, and our users are broadly and increasingly going mobile only, not even mobile first. And we know that we have to basically update our user, you know, our UX and design, which people are frustrated by because it feels like it's 5, 6, 7 years old, right? So like, we're not talking about blockchain. I mean, we have people who think about that problem, but like, but that isn't at the core and center of, you know, the things that are causing our users frustration and that we have to solve for. So, you know, I think that I'm very optimistic because we're bringing in the right people to complement the people we have in the organization. We are thinking about the problems in the right way. We'll make some stuff. We'll buy some stuff. We'll borrow some stuff. We'll look at opportunities to convince Miguel to actually join HSBC. Hopefully that will happen through just convincing him that we're an amazing place.
I'm gonna take a cut, a recruiter cut here, I think.
No, this is
exactly.
It's that $1 billion acquisition.
It might be because it's an acquisition. Exactly, so you know, our way of operating is very different, I think, going forward than it has been, and that is very exciting.
And how about you, Miguel? What are the biggest challenges for you being in the space that you occupy? We talked about the mentality. Is that the number one problem? Is that the only problem?
I think our biggest challenge as a startup is a matter of credibility. So we know how great we are, but the world doesn't know that yet, right? So we try to convince, and in enterprise software, it's all about all these kind of prescriptors, the Gartners, the Foresters, to be top in mind of the decision makers, and we are not there yet. So we try to really work hard and with this kind of conference to evangelize of what's coming, right? And I think that is a different mindset in the US and in Europe. In the US, I think managers are incentivized to try things out. If they try things out and work with startups and they fail, nothing happens because they really did the best, right? And failure is not a problem. In Europe, if a manager brings in Car2DB as a small startup and they fail, they're going to be blamed, like, how could you bring these small guys here? Yeah. So I think that needs to change. It's already changing in the US, but not yet in Europe. So I think that's a big challenge of big corporations in Europe purchasing technology, not purchasing the company. I don't need somebody to buy me. I need revenue.
Okay. So we're fast running out of time. So let's try to kind of look a little bit forward from both your perspectives. Rohit, HSBC, massive, huge technology franchise, everything. How can you transform, or where do you start trying to transform a business that's been this shape for a long time, you know, quite corporate, quite a lot of red tape, into something as agile, as fast-moving, as a lot of these guys here?
So good question. So, you know, I think a lot of people look at an opportunity inside of a large organization and talk transformation, right? We talk chief digital officer, we talk about disruption within the large organization, right? And it's a very important nuance. And so how do you do that? We talk about how we're going to change, how we operate, and how we're going to organize. And we organize around, you know, product streams that are made up of cross-functional members of the organization who are aligned to the goals and objectives of those products as opposed to their functional alignment. And we talk about how to make those teams autonomous and giving them their own path to success. So that is a very long way of saying we're creating a mentality of basically startups within the larger organization who have a responsibility for a product line and being able to deliver that in a series of ways which they will dictate and determine because they're autonomous. And I think that's a really powerful concept. I think that's actually helped us attract a lot of amazing talent from non-banking environments, again, to supplement the folks that we already have in the organization. And so if I gave you a who's list of companies that we've recruited from and been able to seduce, like, it's been pretty cool. And I'm hoping that will continue with some of you guys in the audience. And you know, that's a big, big, big deal for us. You do it through talent. There's no other way.
And Miguel, we've heard at a previous panel that banks, Kim from Saxo Bank was saying that banks are not disrupting themselves fast enough. Do you think that this you know, process of changing mentality, is it happening fast enough, or will there be companies who will not make it because, you know, they suddenly become a Kodak or a Nokia?
I definitely think that our companies are not going to make it, right? I think that the banking industry will face a massive disruption, even bigger than the one that the telcos faced like 5 years ago. So a few banks will not make it, and that's actually natural. So I would say that's the evolution of things, right? The very big organizations that are not moving fast enough will be change from small organizations but much more agile from outside. But I do think that some of the bigger guys are going to be able to adapt themselves to different ways of thinking, different cost structures, different ways of working, as you just said. So I would say we'll see big changes in the banking industry. Some guys will fall and some others will appear.
Do you think it's going to be the guys at the top of the chain, so the biggest ones, the ones with the big franchises, that's the most difficult to change purely because of the scale?
I once heard the CEO of Telefonica said, my job is to try to get fired every 5 years because they're going to try to change so much that they're going to put the organization on the edges. So I don't care so much about the size, it's about the mentality of the leadership. Are they going to put their jobs at risk every 5 years to try to change as fast as they need to do? If they do so, they will survive. If not, the organization will just die.
Rohit, does that sound like a good proposition for you? You know, would you try to get fired every 5 years?
I think that's an amazing way of describing it, right? If that is the mentality of that individual, I think it describes, you know, the kind of push that they're trying to give the organization. I would just make the sequence not every 5 years. I would make the sequence every year.
Well, we'll probably see Rohit back here next year, if he's lucky, and if we're all lucky. We're out of time. One more question before we have 15 seconds. The biggest priority from a data point of view for both of you guys, just one big priority for this year, maybe in the next 12 months, what will you be focusing on?
For us, it's going to be about predicting through location. We think that machine learning, neural networks are going to bring so much more value to how you can understand not just data over time, but data over the territory. And that's going to be massive for many changes in the organization.
Thank you, Rohit.
And for us, it's about getting the right people, hopefully a consistent message, who know how to help shape policy, change policy in an organization, to unlock the data that we've had for a long, long time, and to use that in powerful ways to enrich consumer experience.
Thank you very much. We're out of time, but the guys will be around if you want to ask them any questions. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.